My guest at this time is Georgia Republican Congressman Jack Kingston. He represents the Peach State's 1st Congressional District, and he's a member of the House Appropriations Committee. We want to get his thoughts on where things stand in terms of the government shutdown. Are there any new avenues potentially towards resolution between the House and Senate? And perhaps have him answer some other questions that are lingering out there. Congressman, thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thanks for having me. And it's a busy time. We worked late until the morning trying to come up with something that would be suitable for Harry Reid and the Senate Dems. And unfortunately, they did not want to negotiate, so we're in the situation we find ourselves in.
So just in the last 24 to 48 hours, of course, they refused the defunding option on Obamacare on Friday. On Saturday, Republicans passed a one-year delay in Obamacare. That was rejected on Monday. You countered with a one-year delay in the individual mandate. In addition to getting rid of the medical device tax in Obamacare, there was also the making Congress abide by the same rules in terms of exemptions and subsidies and so forth. All those were rejected. So was a conference committee. So what now?
Well, I think that we are going to continue to look at possible ways to negotiate with them. We do believe that the responsible thing for the Senate to do is to appoint conferees who will negotiate and come up with ideas that, okay, there is some common ground. And, you know, one of the crazy things, and I think John Kennedy, it was the one who said that compromise is the concrete of democracy. And here we have a president who was playing golf on Saturday and a Senate that adjourned, and then they come back to say, we're not compromising, we're not going to negotiate. And I think it's a very irresponsible position.
There had been a statement from Senator Dick Durbin, the number two Democrat in the Senate, who said there might be some ground on the medical device tax. Democrats might be open to the idea of scrapping that if the money expected to be raised from that were offset with either tax increases or some other new revenues. He thinks it's in the neighborhood of $29 billion. Is that a starter for the House GOP?
I think it's a starter to the degree that it's something that we can talk about, and I think talking is a good positive step. I don't think it's something we would ultimately agree on, but I've been married for 33 years, and a wise man told me at the beginning, he said, you know, as long as your wife's throwing plates at you, you have something to work with. It's silence that kills a relationship. And so I'd say if Mr. Durbin's throwing plates and chairs at us, okay, that's something we can work with. And yet that's better than what we're getting from Harry Reid or President Obama, which is absolute silence. And, you know, it's almost a political temper tantrum that you can't have your way, therefore you're going to leave and, you know, adjourn and go play golf. And unfortunately, in our 311 million population country, we have a lot of philosophical divisions right now, and our job as representatives is to come together and hammer out the differences.
Barbara Mikulski is the chair of the Senate Appropriations Committee. She says, and she's at least asserting, that if the clean resolution, as they put it, no Obamacare conditions attached to it, if that were presented to the full House, it would pass. Is that accurate, or is that Democratic spin?
Well, that's not accurate, because if that was the case, then these other three versions of compromises would have been voted down and people would have said, no, we want to have that. And, you know, she's not a member of the House, so she's not on the whip team. She doesn't basically know what she's talking about.
And in terms of these conferences, obviously the GOP conference has had a lot of meetings over the past few days. As far as the discussions have gone, is the so-called Hastert rule still in effect? That, in other words, for anything to come to the floor, a majority of Republicans in the conference have to support it?
Well, I'd say yes and no. It's not necessarily a rule as much as it is a practice and a political courtesy, because what the speaker wants to do is make sure he has a unified Republican conference. So I think for, you know, his political interest and for the sake of unity and harmony, he doesn't want to move anything that doesn't have the majority of Republican rules. And yet, you know, I think it's legitimate for the Democrats to try to divide us with that kind of outside rhetoric, but I can say, you know, we've been meeting every day, hammering out all kinds of ideas that we think could be acceptable to Democrats, and we've stayed unified in it. Certainly there are degrees of unity, and not everybody likes everything, and we lost a few votes last night, but the reality is we are largely unified, and what we are unified about is the national debt being 100% of the GDP. And for every dollar we spend, 42 cents is borrowed. And we're unified by the fact that Obamacare is a disaster. It was supposed to bring down the cost of health care, and it has not. And it was supposed to increase the access, and it has not. So, This is a principled argument based on the fact that America is going broke and the fact that this president wants to add to that a $1.7 trillion piece of legislation called Obamacare that socializes one-sixth of the economy. And so these are not small issues, and I know that it's popular to say, oh, well, this is just petty. Why can't they get along? This is deep philosophical division that you're witnessing. And so coming together is not an easy thing, but I do think sitting down is part of our responsibility. Even if you don't like what the other guy's saying, I think there is a very important role that we all have to play, and that's to come together at least to talk.
Congressman, how active has the response been from your constituents, and which way are they trending?
I'd say right now the majority of our constituents support the path that we're on. Now, you know, 2 weeks from now, that might not be the case. You know, I think the first stage of a shutdown, and this is the third one that I've experienced, the first stage is emotional. But then after, you know, 4 or 5 days, temperature cools down and people start looking at it logically, and they may have a different viewpoint. And, you know, the reality is a lot of the press coverage is dwelled upon, well, who wins and who loses? Well, you know, this is about America. It's not about Democrats versus Republicans. And while it's true the press largely favors the Democrat spin and the Democrat story, the reality is when you had the shutdown 17 years ago, the result was a balanced budget and economic growth for 5 to 6 years that we all enjoyed and prospered from. So, you know, there's this belief that it was a disaster. Well, politically, it wasn't great, although Republicans held on to the majority. But the reality is there was a change in direction of America, and that's what we're trying to get, is a spending change of direction.
We're talking with Georgia Republican Congressman Jack Kingston. And Congressman, I believe it was in the wake of the so-called fiscal cliff debate at the start of this year that Speaker Boehner said that from this point on he would prefer regular order. He didn't want the deals to be struck but just between leadership and the president. He wanted the whole committee process to work out and so forth. Normally, the appropriations process involves 13 different spending bills, and then each are voted on individually, sent to the Senate. They decide whether they like them, want to change them, and then hammered out in conference. Walk us through the appropriations process this year. It doesn't seem like those individual bills were done.
We actually have them all ready to go to the floor, but we had passed 5 on the floor, and the Senate had not passed a single one. And so we were just letting it pile up on the Senate steps. So we quit. Last year, we passed 7, and the Senate only passed 1. And so my belief is, I am a firm believer in this regular order, bring the bills to the floor. I've worked on a bill for 10 months that I'm not allowed to introduce right now. And incidentally, it is a bill that defunds Obamacare and brings spending levels back to 2002 levels. It's a tough bill. And I know once it gets through the House floor amendment process and once it gets through the Senate, it's not going to look like it does now. But, you know, I'm dressed up and want to play. Let's, you know, put me in coach. But the reality is, you know, the leadership is saying if the Senate isn't going to pass a bill, then do we really need to bring it to the floor and spend all that time and put our members through very tough votes that are just academic? And that's a breakdown in the system. I really strongly believe that these fiscal cliffs should not be the way to do business. I think the regular order is far superior.
This is obviously an impossible question to answer, but we'll exit with it anyway. How do you expect this all to be resolved, and especially with the debt ceiling coming just a couple of weeks?
Well, keep in mind we've had 17 of these shutdowns since 1976. And by the way, 3 of those shutdowns were when the Democrats ran the House, the Senate, and the White House. So I'd say let's take comfort in the fact that we have been here before, and let's remember that the short-term inconvenience and sacrifice is going to be well worth it if we can change the spending direction of the United States of America, which right now has nothing but debt in front of it. If we can change that, I think it's worth the sacrifice.
Big debate still to come. And as always, sir, we greatly appreciate your time. It's always a pleasure.
Well, stay in touch. I look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you, sir. Georgia Republican Congressman Jack Kingston represents his state's 1st Congressional District, member of the House Appropriations Committee. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.